Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Bean Merkel with Take 2 Elk every Saturday, 11 to noon. It's great to be with you this marvelous, beautiful October day. Nice sunshiny day, a little cool, feels good. I am Dr. Merkel, and I've been right here behind this marvelous microphone for going on, over 30 years. Right here in Dayton, Ohio, marvelous Dayton, Ohio, for over 40 years. And it is a wonderful place. I love Dayton, Ohio. And I think I think it's a great place to live. Raise a family. There's a lot to do here. There's a lot of games to go to, a lot of festivals. I've been to a couple festivals this year. There's a lot of nice parks and bike trails and hiking. A lot of good food. So it's going to be what you make of it. So get out there and enjoy what the our communities have to offer. I think you'll have fun. But I'm Dr. Merkel, and I'm board certified in clinical nutrition. And I've been right here in the Miami Valley, like I said, for over 30 years. And Dr. Dyer and Dr. Yaley are a couple other doctors we have with us at Take 2 Healthcare. I am not taking new patients right now, but Dr. Dyer and Dr. Yaley are, and they are great doctors. I've gone over many of their cases. Dr. Dyer is board certified in acupuncture and a clinical nutrition like I am, so he's one of the best of the best. And Dr. Yaley is certified in thermography. And this month, October, is Breast Awareness Month, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, whatever. And the thermogram is a safe, painless, touchless breast scan. Around the world, other countries use this as much or more than mammograms. And the thing about a mammogram, it'll tell you that you have cancer. A thermogram will tell you that you're headed toward it. And if you don't change something, the likelihood is you're going to get it. Thermogram predicts where you're headed, or if you have it, it can show you that too. And wouldn't it be better to avoid disease? And that's why every woman out there should get a baseline thermogram. Get done once a year. It's not that expensive. I think it's less than $150. Might be much less than that. I know there's a sale this month on it. Go to our website, take2healthcare.com. Call the office, schedule an appointment. It won't take long. It's very easy to do. And Dr. Natalie Yaley would be probably the one taking that, is the one I'll be taking that film, that picture. And it basically detects temperature. Because cancer grows, as it starts to initiate, it has to increase its blood supply. And that's what you see on a thermogram, is a change in vascularity, a change in heat, which is a hallmark of developing early stage, very, very early stage breast cancer. And you'll detect it here earlier than you will on a mammogram. Also, a blood test, correlated blood test with it, and you've got, I think, the best you can do with our technology today. Like I said, thermograms have been done for 40 years. And it's been used for more than just breast cancer, used for other things that use detect heat. So that'd be a very good thing to do. Hey, I've got a question for you. If you could do something or make a choice, and your child, when they're young, would have 3 or 4 weeks where they just felt bad, where they just didn't feel good. You might have to keep them home from school. You might have to miss work to stay at home and take care of your sick child. But if they got sick and you just allowed them to get sick, it would reduce by 100 times them getting autoimmune disease, lupus, MS, Crohn's, psoriasis, ulcerative colitis, MS, ALS, all those things. If you let your child get sick when they're young for maybe 3-4 weeks, but it would ensure that they would not get, or the odds are they would not, 100 times less risk of getting an autoimmune disease, or 114 times less neurodevelopmental disorders. It'd be 55 times less asthma. It would be 23 times less autism. It would be, 13 times less cancer, 27 times less seizures, and a bunch of other diseases that would be greatly, greatly reduced. The risk would be dramatically lower for these diseases, autoimmune disease, cancers, asthma, allergies, mental health disorders, diabetes. Diabetes is like 42 to zero. Zero if you let your kids get sick. If you let your kids get sick for 3 or 4 weeks, it reduces to virtually zero your risk of getting diabetes. Would you do that? Would you stay at home for your child and just know they're going to be sick? They're not going to die. They're just not going to feel good. Would you rather do that or 100 times greater risk than getting an autoimmune disease? What do you think? What would you do as a parent? Well, I know what I did because my girls, we took the less risky thing and let them be sick for 3 or 4 weeks. They didn't feel good, maybe a little fever, maybe a little grumpy, whatever, but it didn't hurt them, you know. It didn't hurt them. So what are we talking about? We're talking about childhood vaccines, or actually any vaccine. And this is causing great consternation in the medical world right now. And MedPage, oh my gosh, they're mentioning it virtually every day. And it's all greatly because of this study that was finished in 2020. But the authors were afraid to publish it for fear they would lose their jobs. It's not about truth. It's not about truth. They did a retrospective study and found that, let's see, if you got vaccinations, 201 kids got an autoimmune disease, lupus, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's, whatever autoimmune disease, and there's a bunch of them, 201 to 2 that weren't vaccinated. Autism, 23 people got autism who were vaccinated versus one that didn't. That's 23 times. How about seizures or neurological disorders? Seizures, 309 got seizures versus 12 that were unvaccinated. 309 that were vaccinated versus 12 that were not vaccinated. There's a whole boatload. This was what there was a big Senate hearing in, and these researchers delayed for 5 years because they were afraid they'd lose their job. And the consternation is here that the medical, one of the main tenets of medical that they count their, that they say, oh, we really did a great job on this, is vaccines. And maybe you take the a vaccine and it reduces measles or mumps, chicken pox. But maybe getting that measles, mumps, or chicken pox at a young age primes the immune system and helps your immune system learn how to fight any disease. Think of it as a child. A young baby is infinite potential. They learn extremely fast how to talk, how to interact with people, how to walk. But suppose that as that baby, you were afraid that they'd fall down, and so you put them in a baby carriage until they were 6 years of age because you didn't want them to fall down. You didn't want them to walk because they could fall downstairs and hurt themselves. And a few kids might even die by falling downstairs, or they could walk into a swimming pool and drown. And so that you would totally protect your child, they're not going to walk. You're going to keep them in a baby carriage. And then when they get older, you're going to put them in a wheelchair because you don't want them to skin a knee or sprain an ankle. Of course, they're not going to learn how to dance or skip a rope or ride a bike because you don't want them to get hurt. And you know, children are uniquely designed to learn to walk because they're low to the ground. They don't have far to fall. Children's immune system is extremely unique to an adult. It's where it's learning how to fight disease. And when you let the body fight naturally, look at all the diseases. If your body learns to fight these things naturally, your odds of getting cancer, diabetes, asthma, autism, seizures, neurological disorders, brain dysfunction, all these things are dramatically less if you didn't vaccinate at all. Maybe there's something unique that we don't know about, but if you don't vaccinate, your children are going to be healthier adults. Sure, you know what vaccines are for? It's not to reduce death. Because if you go back and look at the CDC stats, and this was actually mentioned in MedPage, that they know that these diseases had decreased 80 to even 90% before the vaccine ever came around. And the deaths from these dropped 80 to 90% or more. And so they're not talking about decreasing death. They're talking about decreasing illness. So your child doesn't get chicken pox, so he don't get mumps, and so your child doesn't feel bad, so he doesn't fall down and bruise his knee, so he doesn't feel bad, and you have to miss work and stay home. Look, I remember getting all those as a kid. I actually remember. You know what? I always thought it was great that I got those things because I'd get to miss school. That's a good deal. Okay, I got a little fever, you know. I'm still doing what I want. I got a little fever, feel bad. I got some chicken pox, itch a little bit. Okay, but I missed school. Anything is worth missing school. And you know what? Everybody in my class and in school, all the kids in the county all got chicken pox, measles, mumps. And guess what? No deaths. No deaths. And nobody freaked out about getting mumps and chicken pox and all those things. In fact, I checked my titers. I do a lot of blood work, and I checked my titers, and I still got sky-high titers, immunity from that. And maybe that immunity I have to chicken pox, measles, mumps, helps me be immune to everything else, too. But if you take a vaccine, you're dedicating a certain amount of your immune system to only that little thing. The flu shot right now. In MedPage, one of the doctors actually mentioned, based on the studies that he's seen on the flu vaccine out today, there is no benefit to taking it. Yeah, one of the doctors on MedPage said, and there's a discussion page on this, and one of the doctors said, well, even if there's no benefit, I'm going to take it anyway. It's like, what? Yeah, there were a couple of doctors said, even if there's no benefit, I'm going to take it anyway, but there's no benefit. And here's the thing. Let's say you have 100 units of immune system. And your body needs 50% of that for healing, for general healing, repair, tissue repair. Your body's continually renewing, regenerating. Your eyes, your skin, your liver, your lungs, everything is regenerating, and your immune system is responsible for that. Then you take a shot for measles or mumps or flu or whatever. And maybe that flu shot dedicates 5% of your immune system to only that flu. See, that's why they say the flu shot's not going to be effective, because it doesn't match what people are getting. What is around Dayton, Ohio, what's around this country, isn't what's in the flu shot. But the flu shot is dedicating your immune system to only that specific flu, whatever it is, flu 25. If it's not exactly flu 2025, it ain't going to work. But it has dedicated, it is closed off 5% of your immune system. Now, suppose you do that with measles, mumps, COVID, all these other things, and maybe the COVID shot reduces your immune system by 10%. And each shot you take is going to take five more, because the shot isn't the same as the previous one, because these COVID viruses mutate. And so you got to have a different shot for every one, and you're dedicating more and more of your immune system, which takes away from your body's ability to fight cancer, autoimmune disease, to avoid diabetes. The more shots you take, the more you are decreasing your immune system to deal with everyday life and things that happen. Whew, we got more great stuff coming. I hear that music. Parker is kicking me off for a couple minutes. I'm Dr. Merkel. We'll be right back after this. And we are back. This is Dr. Merkel at Take 2 Healthcare every Saturday, 11 to noon, 433-3241. We'd love to help you with your health problem, whatever it is. And whatever problem you have, there are ways that you can be healthier. And even if the medical said it, well, there's nothing they can do, there's always something we can do to help you be healthier. And if you've listened to this radio show over the last 30 years, you've heard of many cases in stage, even cancers that were in stage, and people were sent home to die, actually have gone into remission with the care that you can receive at our office. And I've trained doctors teaching continuing education units on continuing education courses for doctors on laboratory analysis and nutritional recommendations, nutritional and dietary options to traditional medical care. And yes, there are a few medical doctors that can do this. And I was the keynote speaker at the International Oncology Conference in Seoul, Korea. The keynote speaker, they were fascinated by the cases we've got, and they wanted more and more information when I was a keynote speaker. Yes, the oncology conference. But here in the United States, nothing. The doctors here, even the doctors listening, don't want to know what we're doing, don't want to know how we got breast cancer, stage 4 cancers, even metastasis to go into remission. Not that we cured the cancer. We didn't cure the cancer. I have no cure for cancer. But if you get the body healthy enough, doesn't matter the name of the disease. We have over 1,000 possibilities of cancer every day. But our bodies are healthy enough to identify it, find it, and take care of the process. But maybe your immune system is wrecked. Maybe your immune system is wrecked by poor choices, poor habits, or things that you had no control over. Maybe you were vaccinated as a child. Maybe you had to get a vaccine for COVID. And now your immune system is wrecked. You don't feel right. You've got long COVID. Well, you need to see someone like us who are health experts who can help you restore your health, get your body to regenerate, and get healthy again. That's what we do. So even if you got vaccinated, everything, maybe against when you were a child, you had no choice no matter, there are things you can do to get healthier. Now, just a little interesting fact here. Years ago, when I was a kid, mothers would give immunity to their baby just by being in the mother. If the mother had these diseases naturally, they gave natural immunity to the infant. And that natural immunity would last for a few years until the child would get it naturally. And that is how the things over the history, thousands and thousands of years, it's worked pretty well. And that is the way it's supposed to be. But girls who are vaccinated for measles, mumps, chickenpox, that kind of thing, do not confer immunity to their babies. And that is why the doctors want to vaccinate more and earlier, because babies, infants are getting these diseases that never occurred before the time of vaccines. Before the time of vaccines, children had natural immunity, babies had natural immunity for a few years, and then it would wear off. The child now has a healthy enough immune system, they can get chickenpox, measles, and mumps, and they breeze right through it. It primes their immune system. It teaches their body how to fight not just measles, mumps, and chickenpox, but teaches it how to fight any disease. Wouldn't that be better? To have a healthy body so you don't get autoimmune disease, diabetes, autism, those kind of things. Something to think about, isn't it? Hey, you're listening to Dr. Merkel at Take 2 Healthcare. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. This is Dr. Merkel. 433-3241. If you would like to contact us, and take2healthcare.com is our website. And if you would like a thermogram, be a good thing to do. I think every woman ought to at least get one, start a baseline, and once a year, check it out. You just don't get cancer overnight. It takes years to get to that point. Well, I want to talk about this. A Washington Post piece came out last week, and it's pretty fascinating. They are basically irate with the current administration and Kennedy and that kind of thing. They call it a profound and immediate and unprecedented threat to pose on a nation's health cannot be ignored. Over recent months, we have watched the increasing alarms as the foundations of our nation's public health system have been undermined. Science and expertise have taken a backseat to ideology and misinformation. And it's coming at a time when there's facing rising threats. And let's see. Kennedy has spent decades advancing dangerous, discredited claims about vaccines. And he talks, and then they go on, despite their life-saving impact during the pandemic. That is propaganda right there. Life-saving impact during the pandemic, that is propaganda. How many countries had lower death rates from COVID than the United States and they weren't vaccinated? Yeah. There's a lot of countries in the world that didn't have the vaccines available to their people like we did in the United States. And guess what? They had lower death rates. How is it that United States had high vaccination rates and yet high death rates compared to countries that weren't vaccinated? It goes on down. Let's see. The HHS secretary continues to ignore science and public's wishes. What? Science and public wishes. Okay. The new Health and Human Services proposed new warnings on products containing acetaminophen, Tylenol, citing proposed link between prenatal use and autism. And I quote, this move has been widely condemned by scientific and medical communities who pointed out, and I quote, that the available research is, quote, inconclusive and insufficient to justify such a warning. Doesn't say it's not. They're just saying it's insufficient. It's inconclusive. So why not err on the side of caution? They're not saying there isn't any. They're just saying to our standards, it's not conclusive enough. Here's one difference between English law versus American law. In the United States, something is considered safe until proven otherwise. So what these drugs are on the market, automatically proven safe until proven otherwise. In England, it's considered unsafe until it's proven safe. And so right here, when these researchers say available research is inconclusive and insufficient, it doesn't mean there isn't any justification for it. It just means it hasn't reached our level of disease yet, our level of problem yet. Wow, how ridiculous. And so they're seeing an uprising. You know, people are, there's been a lot of people silenced and things like that over the years, including the doctors, researchers, with that vaccine versus no vaccine study. The diseases that you get if you're vaccinated versus the disease you don't get if you're unvaccinated, which maybe this clues into. I know I'm getting around different things. First of all, United States is 50th in longevity. And of the top 10 countries in the world, we are in a class by itself regarding healthcare and poor results. And maybe as many vaccines we get more kids vaccines than anywhere else in the world. Our kids are vaccinated more than anywhere else in the world. You know what's happening? They're seeing cancer rates rise. And this is the World Health Organization and even our country, in our United States healthcare system, seeing an unusual rise in cancer in 30-year-olds. If you're 30 years old, you have a greater risk of getting cancer than I do. I'm 68. Yeah, my odds of getting cancer are less. If you're born in the 50s like I was, your odds of getting cancer your whole life is low. If you were born in the 2000s, your odds of getting cancer because you were born in 2000 is greater than mine born in 1957. If you were born after 2010, your odds of getting cancer during your whole life is greater than if you were born in 2000. Why is that? Well, maybe all these vaccines are altering our immune system. maybe that baby who's getting bombarded with all of these vaccines, and I think it's nearly 50 vaccines by the time they start kindergarten, an immune system is so immature that to give it, well, here's one of the things they're arguing about in here, that the they want to separate the measles, mumps, and chickenpox into separate vaccines. Well, the medical community's up in arms about that. No, because they know what'll happen is vaccination will go down. People don't want to go three visits to get the shots, and so they want to do it all at once. But they find that the more shots you give all at once, the more problems you have. But they don't want that because they make money on this. And I wonder how many people here are just going bananas about this vaccination thing when they're getting money on the back end. This is one of the things that medical doctors make money on. It's been said that the reason you well baby visits, the reason for well baby visits is to get vaccinated. And so after a while, we just stopped after we did some well baby visits with a doctor that didn't push the vaccines and was okay with us not doing it. But every time we went, they always asked if we wanted them. We always said no. But that's the purpose of it, is to get vaccinations. And now here's also another little tip. You young parents and people might want to know that your pediatrician, your doctor, is judged and graded by percentage of patients that are vaccinated. You know, if they run below a certain percentage of their children vaccinated, they get docked in pay. They will lose money if they go below a certain percentage of vaccination rates, which is why, parents, if you choose not to get vaccinated, the doctor will probably fire you because he doesn't want to go, even if he some way believes it or whatever, he's not going to keep you as a patient because that could lower his income. He gets below percentage and he loses income. Yeah, everything's being tracked right now with electronic records. So, parents, if you want some information on this and help, we've been helping people make better choices. And then, actually, there's natural things you can do to boost your immune system. If your child gets sick, there's some things you can do. But, you know, children are designed to get sick, just like they're designed to fall down. They learn to babble, so they learn to talk. They have to interact with people, develop good social skills. They have to read to develop their brain and functions. And they have to get sick to learn how to get sick. Does this make sense to anybody? And when you try and bypass that, there's going to be bad results. And we're seeing the effect of that right now in children. And I see parents who did what we did and their children never got vaccinated. And guess what? They don't have asthma. They don't have allergies. They don't have diabetes. I don't know a single person who didn't get vaccinated that has diabetes, type 1 diabetes. Don't know a single one. Or that's got cancer and these other things. They just don't get it. So parents, are you willing to spend a few days with a sick child to reduce their risk 100 times from getting all these diseases? Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Wow. So, the black box warning on hormones is another one. Oh, this estrogen. We know that estrogen caused a lot of breast cancer. People have forgotten that. And there's a black box warning on estrogen. Medical doctors wanting to take that off. Let's see. They said before the black box warning, like 1 out of 4 women were on estrogen. And that dropped down to, but it dropped more than 70%. And doctors became reluctant to prescribe estrogen. And guess what cancer rates did? Cancer rates dropped. Well, now doctors say, but women are uncomfortable during menopause. And so it's uncomfortable. But you know what helps menopause? First of all, get a blood test and let's see what we can do to optimize your system. You might be low in vitamin D, exercise. There's so many things you can do to help your hormones. There's some natural vitamins, boron and things like that can really help women who are having the problems with hormones. And so there are things, we've helped many women over the years breeze right through menopause by getting their body chemistry, getting them tested, make sure everything is optimized, their D, their thyroid, their anemia, their digestion, or whatever it is. Make sure everything is optimized, and they breeze right through menopause, you know? And but they wanted to give you to estrogen, and estrogen, you know, versus breast cancer. And so it dropped more than 70%. And they say, one of these comments here, women live longer and feel better on hormone replacement therapy. Now, they may feel better temporarily until they get a problem. But who says they live longer? We don't see any proof of that. That's just a comment that somebody made to do that. But estrogen, and there's a very famous actress, Suzanne Somers, said, well, I need to have the same level of estrogen I had when I was a teenager. And so she did. Well, she died from breast cancer. Because even though she got breast cancer, she went back on estrogen because she thought you need to have the same level of estrogen you are as a young woman. Well, a young woman has high estrogen naturally because she's going to be preparing to have a baby. That's what estrogen helps prepare the body for, all the hormones for that type of thing. And once you're past that stage, you don't need the hormones that high. You just don't need them that high. And so the estrogen, I think it's a bad deal. I know bioidentical hormones, they think, oh, that's safer. No, bioidentical hormones shut your own regulatory systems down, and you end up needing more and more bioidentical hormones to the point that you're almost on the same level you were before. We routinely get people off of bioidentical hormones because they are wrong. You give a guy testosterone, his own production is going to go down. He will get worse. You give women bioidentical hormones, their own production will go down. And there'll be other complications with that. The bioidentical hormones, it's going to affect the thyroid. It's going to affect other things. There are better, safer, natural ways to take care of that than estrogen, bioidentical hormones. I know people are selling it and promoting it, that they're going to say, no, well, I've got 40 years of experience and lots of cases where women, and even some nice testimonials of women, they felt better than they have in years as they got healthier and they no longer needed the bioidentical estrogens. Your body is designed to go through these processes, and if you're healthy, it does it naturally, but you've got to get tested. You got to see what it is. And it could be something simple. You might be, who knows, low in magnesium. Might have high lead or mercury. Might be anemic. And you know what? It's probably not just one thing. It's probably not just one thing. In fact, I've never seen somebody have just one problem. Reminds me of a guy several years ago. He came in with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, depression, or fatigue, and upset stomach. And he's on a statin, a blood pressure drug, a statin. Oh, and Prozac for his digestion. And his doctor said, oh, you're just getting old. And he thought all my buddies are on the same drugs. He was in his 50s, and that is 40% of the adult population are on blood pressure drugs and statins. And we tested him, and we found that he had extreme high levels of copper. High copper. There's a disease called Wilson's disease that is high copper. It's a genetic disease. Now, I'm not saying that his was genetic. He's getting too much copper from somewhere, probably his water pipes. So we put him on a water filter to clean up his water so he wasn't getting so much copper from his water pipes. Then we did further testing and found that he had extreme low levels of vitamin D. Well, first of all, high copper can cause all of his symptoms. Low vitamin D can cause all of his symptoms. He also had a condition called hemochromatosis. He had high ferritin, which is high iron reserves, which is indicates inflammation, as well as just high iron reserves. And hemochromatosis causes a ton of things. Oh, and I don't have time to go over all of them, but look up hemochromatosis. Now, there's different levels of it. And he had a moderate level, not extreme, maybe not what would be considered, quote, genetic, but it was too high. And what do you need to do for that? You need to donate a pint of blood. Donating a pint of blood is going to help him be healthier, and it's also going to lower not just the ferritin, but the copper too. So he needed vitamin D, and low vitamin D can cause high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and depression. And so for just a few dollars, we found out the blueprint for this guy in like 2 or 3 weeks is off all his drugs, and he hadn't felt this good in years. His sexual function returned too. By the way, all those drugs for blood pressure and cholesterol is going to wreck your sex life and other things too. So sometimes, most of the time, it's pretty easy to find what's causing the problem if you test properly like we do at our clinic. You're listening to Dr. Merkel at Take Two Healthcare. We'll be right back after. And we're back. This is Dr. Merkel at Take Two Healthcare every Saturday, 11 to noon. Call our office. It is National Breast Month. And get tested. Get a thermogram and get your baseline. I've got just a couple minutes here. I want to talk about an interesting case. Osteopetrosis is a genetic disease that makes the bones brittle. And it is in the family. It's genetic. And the family contacted me. And everybody in the family is in a wheelchair by the age of 80. And the mother was talking about her son, who's in a wheelchair at age 12, the earliest that it had ever affected and the most advanced of anyone in their family. They had seen doctors all over the country and even consult with doctors around the world. The blood test called the TRAP, T-R-A-P, is a genetic indicator for this disease. Now, for us, it'd be zero. But for him, he had one of the worst cases they'd ever seen. His was at 70. His mother was at 40. An uncle had a little auto accident and had multiple fractures from just a little fender bender. And now this boy has the worst ever. He's in a wheelchair at age 12, and the doctors have no idea. Well, she contacted me. I said, I can't cure his genes. I can't change the genes, but maybe we can make him healthier. It won't be bad if he gets healthier. Guaranteed, it will not make him worse if he gets healthier. So I did some advanced testing. You know what? I found the problem. He was being exposed to things earlier at a much higher rate than anybody else. And here's what I told him. Genes load the gun. Environment pulls the trigger. There may be genetic tendency, but that is not a physical certainty. Because if that were a genetic certainty and inevitable, that genetic line would have died out thousands of years ago, because 12-year-old boys don't procreate. 12-year-old boys and girls do not procreate if they're in a wheelchair. So what was it? It was environment. And so I know all these doctors wanting to do all these genetic tests and all your breast cancer is genetic. No, it's not. It's environmental. Genes load the gun, but environment pulls the trigger. Epigenetics. Our environment is more important than our genes. If it were a genetic disease, that line would have died out thousands of years ago. Diabetes is not genetic. It may be familial. Oh, yeah, your family has it? Yeah. Yeah, because you're eating the same way. You're in the same environment, the same toxins that your family is, of course. Familial is not the same as genetic. It's in the family. It's like, oh, my whole family's obese. Well, yeah, because they all do the same thing. You know, the joke is, yeah, obesity runs in my family. And the doctor says, no, the problem is nobody runs in your family. And that is the situation. It is genetic. So don't get stuck on thinking that your problem is genetic. Because if it's genetic, you might as well get out of there. Because the doctor really can't do anything for you. But if you understand that genes, that it's your environment that is triggering your genes to act that way, you need to come to a health expert like we are. And maybe we'll find a solution to your genetic problem. Actually, that little boy's 72 TRAP went to zero in I think 4 months. The mother was ecstatic. She said, no one has ever done this before. She said, if a medical doctor had done this, it'd be written up in every medical journal. But it won't be because you're a chiropractor. But we got it to zero. She was ecstatic. Because it not only helped her son, but helped her too. We found some things. We tested her too. We found some commonalities. I said, okay, this is a problem, and here's how you fix it. It's pretty easy to do. Here's your blueprint. Follow the blueprint, and you can be healthy too. See, I'm Dr. Merkel every Saturday, 11 to noon, right here. We'd love to help you with whatever problem you have. Do something today to be healthier than you were yesterday. Take a walk, call a friend, pray for our country, and by the way, go to church tomorrow. I'm Dr.